consciousness or something, you know. Consciousness sucks and then you die.
Don't worry, you won't be conscious when that happens.
Yeah, exactly. So here's here's this new material, see. You know the you know that whole idea of this fellow God that took 7 days or 6 days, right, to create everything and then took a rest, you know, got a keg, kicked back. So, you see, what the myth suggests is that what we have here ongoingly is the result of a creation event from the past. So the creation event, as whether it's the Big Turtle or whether it's whatever the right the Genesis story is, or whether it's the Big Bang, it doesn't matter. They all suggest a Genesis event occurring in what we would call the past, so that the entire universe, as far as the telescope or the microscope can see, is pre-existent and is the result of an event, right? So you being on the scene are jacketed, right, between what's referred to as birth and death in a volume of stuff that's been here long before you showed up.
Presumably as a birth and death also.
Yes. And so the same, you could say that same notion of having had a Genesis point and then an end point for the universe is also in the literature. The Big Bang suggests its birth, before which there was what? And in what so-called condition? And so give me, like Terence McKenna would say, give me one good fantasy, like Big Bang, and I'll take it from there. And so when you look at Hinduism or recent reports from, you know, cosmologists that are measuring the energetic output or robustness of the universe in its present state since its birth, well, it's clearly waning. Don't worry about it, it's going to take a while. But from the point of view of those measurements, this which was created at some event and that remains durable since that event is now waning. Its energy is declining.
Its energy is declining. What about energy never really goes away. It's a certain amount of energy, it just shifts. How can it, like, if it declines, where did it go?
Well, you could say that shift from their point of view would be to what? Dark matter, right? The collapse of galactic systems, right? The immolation of stars. Yeah. I mean, the suggestion is that if the universe, whatever that is, can be measured by some criteria, and then instruments show that criteria is declining and waning, then that would suggest the continual robust birth of stars, gaseous clouds, nebula, and galactic profusion will decline.
How the hell do we know?
I hear you, sister.
I mean, we can measure maybe our universe if we're lucky, but there's so many.
So here's why we suffer. We suffer. The reason we, whatever this is, suffers is this funneling down to your experience. You think that you're tethered, captivated by the meat, bookended, right, between some event called birth and some event called death, and that your consciousness, the miracle of your consciousness, is the consequence of your having been born.
Same thing on a personal level.
That's what we're talking about. Universal,
yep.
Core.
Universal, personal,
yep.
Same thing.
Yep.
Same story.
Yeah. Right? So you see that the error of Genesis suggests a creation event, durability, and then some decline, whether it's a cosmic decline or your biologic decline. Now you're here, whatever here suggests, now, whatever now suggests, you know, at the behest of some other forces which are, let's say, well endowed or sufficiently in place in order for this biologic system to, you know, make love in the back seat of a Chevy, and then here you are. Yeah. And so the panic of death, physical death, which is imaginary, right? I mean, the panic of physical death is imaginary, whether it's pain or whether it's cessation, whether it's losing the beatitude of consciousness, going into a dark space, never to be seen or heard from again, right? Whatever that void is, the fear of that is clearly imaginary. Yes. Well, even, I mean, we could go deeper. Even fear appearing in your experience is imaginary in that it's, again, it's, you know, it's a fleeting plasma morphic that really does not stay at the same pitch. I mean, even if you, right, if you're like immediately afraid, a nano moment later, you're just not that afraid anymore. And then a day later, you can come to breakfast, and you're like, well, I don't, you know, what? I wasn't afraid. I mean, you know, you can see that what you call the durability of your life is imagined. It's just imagined, because you can't reach back into what you think happened prior to now. You can't reach forward into what you think or might wish will happen after now. And here's where we're going to get serious. Sitting here, whatever here suggests, could be referred to as, you know, we've played with this before, actual. This is actual, right? And memory, reference, planning, bargaining, right, cajoling, revenging is virtual. It's mental. This is actual, but memory, recall, is virtual. Right? Planning for the future, managing the past, figuring out how you're going to navigate from moment to moment, place to place, feeling to feeling, success to success, is all virtual. Okay. So, if you can get some mileage, for a while, you can get some mileage out of contrasting this as actual, excuse me, and anything other than this as being of the nature of imagination and projection. So, from an enlightenment dance, Carl, Nissy, you know, Ram Dass. Hang on. You're given some kind of advice that being present here now, actual, is somehow going to be advantageous. Emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, physiologically, for the value proposition of your life. So then you might sit on a cushion. You know, you might jack yourself up on hemp. You'll do whatever seems, you know, kind of cool to do to make it appear as if you can actually occupy this present actuality for some benefit, maybe a spiritual benefit, as if this is the window to your enlightenment. So if you can only get here, then the window to your enlightenment will fucking open up, and you'll have relieved yourself from the hysteria of living virtually so that you can live actually. Good luck. So here's the rub. We think that creation or creating actually leaves something on the table. Like the Big Bang left this, right? Or the Great Turtle left this. Or God, in his 6-day toil, left this. This is an error. That's not the case. So when we think that creation, the act of creation, leaves something created, we're mistaken. It doesn't. It doesn't.
The whole premise is that it leaves something and that's it.
That's correct. That's correct. The whole premise is that the act of creation, no matter what the Genesis story is, leaves something behind. It doesn't.
Seems like there's something.
Seems is the big word.
So, what about things like pain? It was created.
No. Uh-uh. Your present experience, all the way down, is the act of creating, but it leaves nothing behind. Creation doesn't have anything to work with, nor does it actually leave anything behind. So all you really have is the event. The creating event, the creating event, the creating event. So we think that that the verb create or the creating event, whether this is anthropomorphized as God or some agent, or whether this is the creation event, like a Big Bang, right, leaves something behind, which we say is this. And it doesn't. That's why we suffer, because we think that creation actually creates a thing that you can occupy. And therefore, you imagine you exist as a durable, corporeal entity, bookended by birth and death, that's at risk from a million insults.
Question
that I put the last time I was here. Yeah.
What is it about that? It's fucking act of creation.
Okay.
That's what it is.
All right.
That's why
we gotta have
a
hand.
Glad you worked that out.
Well, I thought it was more the meaning of attached to
life. Yes.
So here's the table.
No, table's meaning. Table is meaning. There is no table.
You name it. It's your
ass. There is no table. If you're leaning on it and tapping it, right, you could say that there's sensation. But sensation does not insist that there's a table.
Could be a drum.
Well, see, any name that you give to what appears to be the remnant of creation is virtual. It's not actual. Your experience, whatever that is, might be actual. Might be. We'll dismantle that in a moment. But you, the icons, the accoutrements of what you say is in your experience are all virtual. There's no table. There's just whatever the hell this is.
Well, do you have to take this out in layers? Because, I mean, I guess you can just, like, all of a sudden, you make up or something like a family tragedy. I don't know.
This conversation is layering. We're doing layers now.
Yeah, well, okay, so the layer of attach no meaning to anything. Like, I'm not even there yet. I still get caught up with...
Well, it's curious. You're absolutely there because there's no place else to be. And for whatever reason, it's easy to become seduced by all the other stuff that you do or everyone else does by living virtually. It's not like you're not there yet. You're absolutely there. There's no question you're there. There's no place else to be. And, not but, and, this looks like stuff. So you party on in the hallucination of a virtual continuity where you're having a life that some days sucks, some days looks okay. Right? I mean, I spoke to my mom this morning on the way here. She's ready for the helium tank. Yeah.
Again,
yeah. This time, really, she might be more ready.
What? Yeah.
Never mind, we're recording. They're going to put me in jail. when they find her deceased, yeah. Really. Here's the thing.
I have those babies in myself.
Yeah. You think that you're here remembering, let's say, the past. And you're like, Jesus, remembering the past is like, you can see, if you're willing to see, it's just completely irrelevant. Your past is irrelevant. Your future is irrelevant. That's kind of easy to see because it's... So then you think, oh, well, I'm going to outsmart this fucker. I'm going to live in the present.
Yeah, but you can't really do that.
No, you can't live in the present because there is no present.
Okay,
can you not live in the present? How can you not just drink the water, listen to the words, hang out?
Yeah, but again, those are names, you see? Drink the water, hang out, all the things that you would assign to what you call your experience, which is lovely, are virtual. They're not actual. So here's the fun part.
But what about light?
In a moment.
Gravity or soul.
Names.
Yeah, what do you think gravity is?
Let me go back to this. You see what happens? You're going to get lost. You get lost. We all get lost in negotiating with what appear to be the constituent elements of a creation that has created something.
Nobody knows. I can't figure all this out. If I look to the abstract world.
No. Have eggs over easy. You can figure it out. You don't have to go anywhere. Whatever.
I don't know.
So here's the thing. We think I'm here, right? And I can remember, pardon me, this is wrong. I can remember stuff that was behind, right? That's where I think. I'm here, subjective experiencing, right? Which is a myth in itself. Your subjective nature is a myth, which you think inhabits the meat of your objectivity, but your subjective nature is also an object. So you don't really know what's perceiving what. That there appears to be perceiving occurring, someone has to be doing it. So it may as well be me. So here, that's what we're working on. So, it's not a what, but we'll get there. So we're here, and we can look back and remember. What we don't see is that being here is basically the same memory, but now it's in your face. This is memory in your face.
To make this anything, it has to be memory.
To make it anything, it has to be memory.
So it's like right there in time.
This is memory in your face. See? Fuck. Yeah, totally. This, what we think is me being actually present, is really memory in your face. Because for this to be anything, you have to apply, right? Disparity. Name. You have to anthropomorphize the weirdness of your own present experience as self in order for anything to be apparently existent at all.
And that happens because we got to make some sense out of this, which is otherwise...
No, that's symptom. No, that's not why it happens.
Because we got short words.
No, not because of that. No. No.
Why do we live in memory instead of what this really is?
You are living in what this really is, and you're also this
completely
can remember. Yeah.
But memory is part of this.
Not part. It is this.
Memory is as real.
Nothing is part of anything. It's just. Before you get to why. You already have to borrow from this hallucination to then try to figure out why. There is no why. There is no how.
How about what?
There's no what. Okay, so this little symbol is the act of creation. That's all there is. It has no past. It has no future. It doesn't actually create anything at all. It's just pristine creation. That's it. That's what this is. And because it appears the way it does, or that it looks like I can assign subjectivity, identity to it, that suggests, right, the blossoming of your subjective nature, you as an entity, you as the perceiver. And so it looks like you can remember stuff that happened before now, but you can't, actually, because what you think this is actually memory in your face. The entirety of what you might consider as durable or durational experience as my life is just memory in your face. But because it's so intimate, as in right now, it looks different than stuff that I remember from my past.
So if people have a stroke or some kind of an episode and the memories are taken out,
yeah,
what are they experiencing?
We don't know what we're experiencing. How could we know what they're experiencing? Can you really articulate, can anyone articulate, whether it's the physicist or the poet, whether it's Rumi or Nisi, what we're experiencing? You can't. Well, we have art and letters, and we have universities, but they're filled with what? Archetypes, right? Media. They're filled with media, archetypal media, which is beautiful. I mean, you know, it contributes to what we call the culture, but it's just archetypal media.
So, the only thing I can say is there's light and shadow and gray. I don't know. Isn't that?
That's right. Even that is suspect.
Well, it gets back to your parable a couple weeks ago that ended with stop being afraid of energy.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Somebody has to have a magical answer to...
To what? Let's look at the nature of attention. Out here, right, attention is enamored with what appear to be the elements of a three-dimensional, right, volume, like table and car and a place you came from and a place you're going to, and the remarkable textures of what you might call your present experience, which is odd. I mean, your present experience, if you just feel it on its terms, it's not convincing you of anything. It's a symphonic cacophony of remarkable sensations. But it's all just implication.
And this, it includes everything that ever has happened and ever will happen.
Well, yeah, because nothing ever did happen. Nothing's happening now, nor will anything will happen. See, this creates, that's all it does. It's a singularity. It doesn't create something. It just creates. You can see that each so-called moment, not that there's any moment at all, has no residue. Every click of, right, encounter is evaporative. You're not actually durable. You're not durational. There appears to be a bizarre persistence, but you can't find the persistence. And any names that you apply that suggest a genesis, an author, a building block, an outcome, an existent and durable universe in which you're dwelling is made up. Memory is in your face, which means whatever you think is occurring now, whatever you might be able to comment upon now, is whatever this is from there, here. Memory's in your face. This is not actually occurring. You're not having an experience.
That seems like some circular logic. You're like, oh, what is back here? Memory, it's imaginary. Then you can just come back forward with it and say that, like, I'm not trying to say, like, this is specifically real, but that line of thinking just seems like circular logic. Am I the only one getting
it? Well, I would feel
let's see.
I don't think you're going to escape it, yeah.
Yeah.
I was feeling that if you just chop out time, you don't have that problem. Remember that?
Creation assumes
if there is no time, then it's just you don't have that problem.
You don't have that problem.
You know, and there is no time.
That's right. So good luck chopping it out. You will not be free as the meat. You will not be free as an idealized or successful personality. Therefore, the flap of Carl's book is, you know, clearly misleading, right?
Yeah. Get a better life.
Get a logical
Yeah.
I have no hope. Never did. Just give me
Think of it as a funnel of time. Out at the widest end of the funnel, there's all this. And my memories. Not just my memories of my relatively short lifespan, but we have the archaeological memory. We have the cosmological memory from the turtle, from God, from the Big Bang. We have the appearance of that memory, right? The record of a universe having been created at a point in time. But it's all fake. Our memory is fake, the universal memory is fake, the cosmological memory is fake, the big turtle memory is fake, right? The great glorious efforts of God are not so.
Yeah, if you drop the whole memory thing and you get that it's not something real,
you don't have anything.
And you have even less when you look at...
I didn't get potatoes.
Like when you take it as the funnel and take it right to here.
That's right. So outside on the funnel, you have, let's say, the cosmological myth. But as we funnel down, you get closer to what this is.
Right there.
Right? Yeah, you get closer.
Like right here.
Yeah, so you get closer.
Yep.
Now, we'd like to think that as we get closer, we could actually occupy this. But you'll notice you can't.
That I've never
seen. Well, all you see is persistence. You see persistence, but you don't actually see that you have occupied the present.
Another way to put that is you can never see.
You know, once you
I know when it comes to people, you can never actually see anybody. All you see is
that could be behavioral and psychological.
Yeah.
But apply that to your present experience.
Oh, you can't see it because you have a preconceived notion of what it is.
That's memory in your face.
That's water. That's table.
That's right.
The minute you name things,
that's right.
You're saying, I know what this is. You turn it into
that's
an
right.
object, and you can't perceive it.
That's right. In order to think you know what your present experience is, memory is in your face.
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah.
Strange?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's easy for me to recall shit that happened a minute ago. But I can see by going down the funnel to this most intimate presence and see, fuck, memory in my face.
What you get for that?
Thank you, sir.
What you get for that is I know what this is, and I have some control over it. That's what you get.
Well, the whole genesis of entity is all of that and more. Yeah.
In order to even have a present experience,
you
must have reference.
That's right. That's right.
Treats everything, which means it's abstract.
That's right. No. No. That's right. Yep.
We'll see.
Can I turn that down a little bit?
Sure.
Thank you.
Could I ask you something?
And I need some coffee at your leisure.
Here.
Thank you. or a recap, whatever.
I didn't say what kind of toast I wanted. Is there any way I could get dry rye as well? Because I'm going to give it to him.
Well, let me check if this, because okay. I think it's ready, but yeah.
He needs two pieces of dry rye either way.
No matter how this goes down, I need two pieces of dry rye.
Man needs two pieces.
Whether it's nice or not.
It's all tough to make a sandwich out of one piece.
I mean, the philosophy is titillating, but dry rye is where I live.
Well, you should.
He says we're not believing in a past and a future. The past says I didn't say anything, and the future says I gotta have it.
Then you could say that even present is not.
That's right. That's what I'm trying to get to.
There is no present.
No,
either.
No, there's
there
not.
There is no now.
He wants to ever. He's just gonna take it all
no.
away.
You got nothing.
You got pupkis.
All away.
Where'd the half and half go? Is it down there?
Yep.
All right, Catherine, how's your hot mess? It just said it's fabulous. They fried
Thank
it.
You. Thank you.
Okay.
One
of us isn't going to get. Delicious. So, I mean, really, the most useful working...
Thank you.
The most useful working metaphor of your ruination is going down the funnel from abstraction and hypotheticalism, which is all memory, to get as close to an observation of what we're referring to as actual or presence. And as you get closer and closer and closer, the expectation might be from reading Carl or Nissi or whatever that you can win.
We always want to win.
And there's,
that's a given.
And there's no win.
We always want to prostitute this to win somehow. It's what we do.
But even when there's somebody, I'm kind of like trying to give up on trying.
Good. Yeah.
Did you hear what you said? You're trying to give up on trying. I like it, Lisa.
It's quite a loop.
Mm-hmm.
Not Let us know how that goes.
Trying to give up on trying.
Not that I don't get it, but...
I'll take a minute.
Without taking my place there. The competition is really not like a pain.
Yeah, yes. Sure it is. For someone in the third world, you know, a cool glass of parasite-free water would be
success.
Absolute success.
I need an orange juice, okay?
We have two, actually, Amy, right? Okay.
So we can talk about this, but there's nothing to be done with it. We seem to talk. We seem to live. What's to be done?
Look like. They're hiding one pepper on it.
What's to be done is already too close to the mouth of the funnel. What's to be done about what? For the sake, you know, of whose benefit? If, as we learn to, let's call it rest, in the impossibility of presence, not rest in presence, because there is no such thing. If anything, there's resting in the view of the impossibility of presence.
Just resting sounds kind of nice. Screw the view, just rest.
Fair enough.
I like that idea.
I mean, if you watch everyone's, you know, beautiful animation, you can see that it's just, you know, I mean, it's just a beautiful pouring forth of, let's call it prana, life energy. Right? You have an opposable thumb so you can hold a fork. Two opposable thumbs so you can eat in stereo. I mean, consider yourself, every moment, every chew, every smile, whatever's coming in, what you're doing next. I mean it's an infinity of subtlety and nuance that as you're operating, you know, as a skeletal or biological thing in so-called space-time is unbelievable, right? You blink your eyes so you can hydrate the surface of them. The breathing is happening well without your intervention. Right. You can shift your body. You can aim for food. You can actually point it and get it into your mouth.
If you're lucky.
And
why do you want to do that?
I don't know why. It's more fun to eat this one.
Amazing music.
Yeah.
I mean, if we can look at it as we are gifted beyond measure.
Gifted beyond measure. Yeah. And even gifted beyond measure has its, you know, has its, you could say, shadow side.
Yeah.
Right? Because the burden or pressure of experiencing it all, even if it's full with ecstatic, right?
Vibration,
right? Ecstatic demonstration is still like, you got to be kidding me. You raise the stakes because I think I would like to participate in something that could possibly look like the end of suffering. That's why all of these, you know, retreat centers and yoga centers and Buddhist enclaves, you know, thrive the way they do. It's because no one's waking up. No one's waking up, and so these institutions thrive because we'd rather participate in a thing or a vow or a place or a robe or whatever so we can get a leg up on suffering somehow.
You're trying to buy hope?
Yeah, and sometimes that looks like, you know, vows and a renunciation. Or somehow a simplified life. Or breaking up with an abusive partner or whatever it might look like, right?
Always a good idea.
But we're happier suffering the way that we suffer, maybe turning the volume down on that a little bit, but still having places to go and people to see so we can attend to our suffering. We'd rather do that, really, than you could say, go all the way to complete ruination of your subjective nature. I'm not holding anyone accountable or anything. Huh? So enlightenment is brain dead, right?
A serious moment.
I've experienced complete ruination of all my vegetarian tendencies since coming to Night Sky.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that count?
It counts.
We accomplished something.
Yes, you did.
You know, Lisa, it's...
But how come this character in that book where it has
The best thing you can do as an adult interested in realization is to go back to your childhood and re-believe in Santa Claus. You have to.
What the hell does that mean?
Your parents came in and said, bad news. We were fibbing.
Yeah.
There's no Santa Claus.
Yeah.
They were mistaken. There is Santa Claus.
I saw them.
You have to. The reason is no one can convince you that there's a so-called human being that has come to fruition or ruination. You have to be the one to believe it. Who can tell you? You can shake Peter Brown's hand or Adam's hand or whomever.
Adam.
And yee-haw!
Adam
will be here on Thursday.
Where are you going to be Thursday, Lisa?
Hi, Adam.
Lights, do you remember me?
Adam.
I haven't been able to get you out of my mind.
Because I can love it.
Miss Piggy. He canceled. Hey, Jeff, you mind if I cancel? You guys are psychos. That's right.
Just tell him. I'll tell him.
You'll tell him, yeah.
Jeff likes the
body. A lot of the ladies kind of like,
now, wait a minute. Jeff invited him. Jeff likes hot guys.
Yeah.
Him to wear a skirt.
Top skirt. There you go.
I like everybody, so that doesn't count.
Yeah. You can't rely on you for anything.
That's right.
Santa Claus, believing in Santa Claus, is you being full or filled with, let's just call it the confidence, the hopefulness, the certainty that realization is yours and at hand.
Yeah.
Otherwise, your parents sold you a line of shit, and
I knew that.
Mm-hmm, and you were like, there is no Santa Claus? When they told you there was no Santa Claus, even though they didn't realize it, they thought they were doing you a favor. They
I
weren't.
I did not believe them.
I know. They were. Yeah. You have to go back somehow to total wonder. You have to bail out of the imposition that this is a universe in which you find yourself as a creature. You have to go back to believe in Santa Claus.
No, I get it.
You have to believe again. Yeah. Well, it's not just a matter of rote belief, right? It's a matter of, as we like to play around with, looking at, feeling, exploring the nature of your present experience and see what it might be revealing to you. Which is not just the disappointments of my imaginary life. You have to get beyond, somehow, the disappointments of your imaginary life while you're conducting your life as practically as you possibly can, so that you can tune your attention, attenuate your attention to the possibility of a first-hand encounter with Santa Claus, which turns out to be yourself. Mommy, Santa Claus is real. I'm Santa Claus. That would be the appropriate response. You and Daddy are all fucked up. Get out of my face, you losers. I'm fucking Santa Claus, and don't forget it. Otherwise, I'm out of here.
You gotta send that at 3 a.m.
Yeah, you gotta be ready with it. I think we should publish that and then send it out to all little children. Here, read this. If your parents ever come to call on you to suggest that Santa Claus is not real, you just read them this.
Tell them to get
Mom and Dad, hey, how about fuck off? I am Santa. And you're a tower.
I don't know.
Just give me the credit card. I'll be all set.
Really? Just because your parents ran out of magic does not mean that you need to.
How's anything funny?
Well, just see if you stop laughing.
That's what's funny.
Well, then, because the laughter comes first, and you find something to make funny.
Yeah, the laughter needs to happen. It's not concerned about why.
And your mind just puts something together. Oh, let me make that funny.
Oh. Okay. When you think about it.
No question about that.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. People that go see Gary Culp speak.
Or Adam.
Or Adam for that. For that.
Gary Culp.
He's the minister of couples.
Former.
Oh, he used to be former, but he comes back every summer now. Does a gig at the camp.
Gary Culp had the little
camp. Yeah. He's real tan. Kind of slight built. Mm-hmm. Looks like a lime, smells like a lime, squeezes like a lime.
Hmm. Unless it's a lime.
These are lime.
I know they're lime.
Do you see how you must rely on representation or memory to convince yourself of anything? That's why I was saying memory back here is one thing. What we fail to see is memory occurring in your face. You can't really occupy or opine upon what we might refer to as your actual present experience. You just can't. So if you find yourself in some kind of coordinate field of relevance or meaning or time, commitment, appointment.
That's totally what I'm saying. All the reference points to create a reality is kind of a matrix. And that every single thought, every identification, we're just kind of like moving our X and Y coordinates around this.
Yes, that's right.
We've placed ourselves somewhere down in the lower left corner of the matrix. You know, we're trying to move our way higher.
Yeah.
But it's just points of reference. None of it's real at all.
Isn't this curious? Everything that's appearing in your experience, bathing, clothing, driving, speaking, eating, eliminating, sleeping, fucking, if it turns out, you know, it's your day.
It's an act of creation.
It's an act of creation. Right? Is all occurring as this virtual profusion of apparent coordinates. And the coordinates only make sense.
What's here without it?
Well, yeah. I mean, without those, tell me what this is. So, creation does not refer to that which is created. It does not refer to the imaginary building blocks with which this creation occurred. And it for sure as fuck does not refer to a creator.
And it is, as you would say, on past the stream, is that what you say?
Here we are.
Okay, something like that.
That works.
That's as good as Carl Renz has, or Nissi. If there's a difference, they became gradually, suddenly, cathartically, whatever, aware, right, of the mirage-like nature of all phenomena, including their own imagined subjectivity. So all of the effusion of creation, creator, building blocks, vanish. What are you left with? Creation, but it has no coordinate. And here it is again, and here it is again, and here it is again. You see, it's not like you were created, and now you're living as a durable creature. Every is just the blast furnace of creation, but not creating anything. Now that's strange, because if you take it all the way, what we have grown accustomed to as a 13 billion year old universe that enjoyed a creation event is not true.
Shun that idea.
Whatever this is, this creation event, not that it's an event, builds from nothing at all of the evidence of a universe that's 13 billion years old. Dynamically penetratable with telescopes, microscopes, and all other manner of sensitivity. Yeah. This creation is doing all that and refreshing the entirety of it from evaporative moment to evaporative moment. You're not actually living in a remnant of a creation event.
It seems more pertinent to kind of keep it more personal rather than Big Bang-ish. I mean, nobody wakes up in the middle of the night pondering the Big Bang and wondering about the reality of how the universe was created.
Well, in a sense, they do. No, in a sense, they do.
We wake up in the night wondering if we tipped over oil in the garage and like made a mess.
That's your local Big Bang.
Right.
Well, we don't question it. You're right. We don't wake up thinking about it.
Yeah, who worries about that? We worry about what we think is
this. I don't wake up
and
think, because I'm boring. But obviously, we should question that. I mean, the whole game is set up. Even our language, it's subject, verb, object. It implies time. It implies the subject working upon an object. So, you know, we've completely rigged the game, you know, into this matrix where we're kind of our minds just pulling from here and there. But it's a fabrication.
Present experience and what we call the constituents and the rolling force of present experience can be, let's say, investigated or felt or looked at or considered to see that it's fabricated.
I mean, even if you just go in and feel yourself for a moment, it has actually nothing to do with all the fabrications.
Nothing at all. That's right.
You can sense it. It's like two entirely different things.
Yeah.
But we spend all our time in the fabrication.
Mm-hmm. No. Yes. We spend our time tethered or adhered to the content of fabrication, which is virtual. We don't give much or any attention to that so-called going inside oneself and feeling the fact, the resonant, right, vibratory certitude of being. We immediately construct, that's not important. I'm the body. I have to make sure I didn't spill something in the garage. Then we want to realize as the body. When that which is inviting us to realize is this inner fuzz, plasma, weirdness of the certitude of being. In the yogi's case, it's the certitude of being, which the yogi has no more or less than you. But in that case, it's unperturbed by virtual and anecdotal hysteria. So the yogi rests at the bottom of the funnel, in full view that this is nothing at all, including his or her own subjective nature is nothing at all. So then there's no grasping. Because your identity, that certitude of being, has come full frontal. You can still engage in chess, Mealborns, Risk, breakfast cereal, and Ed Sullivan reruns with no problem. But the seat of your presence, present being, which is nothing at all, which has no durability, that's, can we say clumsily, that's where you live. So that, whatever that is or suggests, you could say that's what happened to Carl Renz or Nissi or Tickles. And it's just this. And you don't have to be waiting around for an event. You can, I would argue, you can actually, might I say, enjoy your own present irrefutability as the ground of being, which is nothing at all, as that which creates but doesn't create anything, right here. Why the hell not? I mean, Build Me Up Buttercup is kind of like our quarrel with the universe at large.
Exactly. I was thinking exactly the
right?
same thing.
Why do you build me up, Buttercup baby?
Don't break my heart.
Why is his girlfriend's name Buttercup?
Because what's better than a cup of butter?
Oh, I
didn't think
that.
Yeah, Dave's
nickname. Not today.
Yeah, Dave's nickname for Nan is Dry Rye.
No buttercup there.
Oh, he just cut me to the core.
Yeah, really. I'm dead now. You're dead to me.
That concert must have been really good last night. You're just firing on all cylinders today. Gotta love it.
See, what I was trying to get at when I was playing with the time, like when I listen to this,
yeah,
I have access to the place where I first heard it.
Yeah.
Because time is gone. So, you know, you can feel that. What did I say? But then, but you would have said that that's not true either, which I'm not getting, I don't understand, but that's okay.
Well, what's true? What can you say with, you know, observational or causal certainty?
Only what appears.
If you don't name what appears, you don't got much. Even what appears is memory in your face. Nothing's appearing.
Yeah, I'm not getting it.
I hear
okay.
you. Well, look, we're in, here's a field of what appears to be symptoms, mm-hmm. experience for the taking.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm. But you're saying that's not action?
Well, if we go into it suggesting we take naming, metaphor, reference, causality off the table.
I feel as though I know what you're saying, but I can't honestly say that I didn't hear Buttercup. Like, you know?
Well, look at it. Even the so-called recollection, which happened just about now, was the assertion, which no one has any good reason to disagree with, that you heard Buttercup.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that's just what? That's just metaphoric reference.
So, do we really have to let go of Buttercup? Not Buttercup.
Yeah, I'm not saying that, you know, something didn't happen. I'm just saying nothing happened.
I'm really thinking, she's completely enlightened. Why does she even deign to come to our breakfast?
That's what I asked my guest.
It's like, oh my God, she's got this.
I got this.
Some level, you get it.
No.
But somehow, it seems genuine. Because it's immersive.
Okay, so then we can use a word like genuine, authentic,
okay.
right, to refer to the irrefutability of whatever this is or isn't, because it's immersive, right? And those are lovely, but they're not quite it, right?
No, okay.
Right?
Because there could be a place where I wouldn't be saying any of it.
Well, right here is good. I'm not saying you should be silent.
Right.
I mean, we can, as obviously we do, continue to speak and drink from the merry cup of a bottomless coffee. Right?
And use reference.
And use metaphor and reference and time-space coordinates to have what appears to be a conversation of absolute gibberish. That's unabated. I mean, this effusion is persistent.
Go write a poem. That's what I'm going to do.
This effusion is persistent. Fair enough?
But I feel like, why? Why?
That's great. No, I mean, that's great. Yeah. Why? I don't know. If we could find someone to ask, then we could ask. When Adam comes, ask him. Let's write a script. We have to write scripts because otherwise he'll hypnotize everybody with his gaze.
Well, his name is Adam. He should know. The first man.
That's right. Ask him.
There's your first question.
Ask him. Adam, stop staring at me. Why is this persistent?
Who the hell is
Adam? Mankind, Adam.
Yeah, I mean, remember what we call behavioral persistence right? The imagination of my life is virtual but unabated. It doesn't stop. Does not stop. Non-stop.
So would we then say that choice is non-stop? I mean, can you say that?
Again, words, right? Words function as disparity. They function as an assertion and, right, the opposite of that assertion. By themselves, the, you know, it's nothing.
Okay, then... This, let's say, existence,
yes,
manifests dually in a yes and a no, right?
Well, no, it doesn't actually.
Well,
your naming convention operates that way.
Well, I'm
but this doesn't manifest that way.
I'm working on my issue with the...
Which issue?
Trying to say that what appears is actual.
Yeah,
that's like a function of duality.
No, no, it's not a...
The other side of that is...
No, no, there's... Before you get to all that, there's certitude. There's irrefutability. Present experiencing, even if it's quiescent, is not zero.
So then the buttercup is in that, right?
Okay, yes. Buttercup is...
That, when it was occurring, you would say the same.
Well, again, you see how strange it gets. When it was occurring is not possible.
I didn't bring it up at the time.
Well, even when you brought it up, it was 10,000 years too late. I mean, that doesn't mean you shouldn't bring it up. But when you bring it up, you're already way downstream of an incredible cacophony of what?
Like this time thing is key, because it actually is happening, and it will always be happening.
Whatever has happened is happening. What?
And always will be happening.
You can go there. I mean, there's no question you can go there. You can assign some kind of meaning, some kind of genesis to this irrefutability. And why not? There's no quarrel. It's not true. But it's not true. Yeah.
I'll let it go for now. We're back to this.
Two questions, Adam. Put my iPod on shuffle, and why is this so persistent? Nothing.
Well, I'm trying to think of ways to distract myself from thinking.
I hear you. Forget it. No takers. You're on your own.
Can I try?
I don't think anyone should come to this meeting on Thursday except for Lisa.
I think we should have like
one on one.
Exactly.
I like it.
So synchronize our watching and I have exactly the same point that I have.
Yes, thank you. If there's a little more decaf, I'd be happy to sip on it. Thanks.
She's been stuck on Adam for a year.
What?
Fine.
$10.
I feel like... Whatever has happened or will happen can happen. So, like, quantum reality.
Right, right.
It's all actually present.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
It's you know.
Well,
so where else can it be?
Yes, I mean, one suggests temporal assignment to phenomena, meaning events.
But I'm saying it's not temporal. It's here and it's present, all of it.
You're right.
Yeah, but
everything.
I know, but present is saying too much.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just looking, we're looking affectionately at the profundity of imagination, the profusion, the profusive profundity of imagination,
right.
To conjure coordinates even as subtle as presence or past.
I got it.
Right? Yeah.
Presence, that was my problem.
Okay. Yeah, the moment you think that presence, the moment you think that presence is the shit, you're screwed again. Because there's no presence. This that creates makes it appear as if it can be anthropomorphized as a turtle or the god of our ancestors. It can make it look like it's using building blocks as subtle as quarks or Higgs bosonic vibratory suggestions to make what appears to be the solid mass of a table. It steals and robs from anything to make it look as if not only is it creative and creating, but it has left you a little gift.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the... What's that? In the litter box.
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
This which has you believing that it's creating and has left you a gift in the litter box and should be worshipped as your God. It's just for this it's always Halloween. It's all it can do.
At best, you're God's refuse.
That's it, you're refuse. You're just appearing in the litter box of, you know, God's kitchen, which hasn't been cleaned in a long time. May I have some of that half and half? Thank you.
Oh, you need it?
No, please. Help yourself. You see how interesting it is, Pat, that we... Good. Yeah. You see how interesting it is we either suffer from or enjoy the involuntary reflex to objectify this serendipity. And so, well, because we're enamored of the myth of time, we may as well assign present or presence to this right here, right now. But there is no right here, right now. It's only evaporative as it is refreshing. So this which creates can only do one thing, which is to so-called create. But it does not create anything. It never ceases to be creating, but it never creates anything. So you can do this, go inside and feel whatever there is to feel of you without assignment, without mentation, without temporality, and you tell me what that is. Fuck if I know. And if you want to assign this feeling that you may be having, which lends itself to the certitude of your irrefutability, if you want to assign yourself to it as a subjective nature or time to it, knock yourself out. It's not going to stop you. That's what we do.
When it comes down to it, it will be, at least in this perspective, easier just wasn't allowed to cause all this trouble.
Mm.
Now you're not. I don't know if I'm saying, like, as a man who explains to, like, your, like, freedom.
Yeah.
When given, like, ultimate freedom, I just cause all these problems. So
oh, right.
It'd be better if I just had
I think we all
like,
do that, yeah.
It's like, no, like, you're not allowed to do any of this. We're just...
Yeah, then you might listen.
That I might not have caused all this stuff for myself.
Well, it gets a little strange when you look at some of these, you know, yogis. I mean, you know, even Ramana, after the years of sitting in caves and being eaten by insects and vermin, those were the good years. When people interviewed Ramana, he was like, well, so, Master, what was the best years of your life? Well, when I was alone, unconscious, and being eaten by insects and vermin.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened after that? I don't know. I got out of a cave, and then they built an ashram around me. And all I did was try to put on a fresh diaper and get the hell out of there. He was a very busy guy, managing Ramana Ashramam. In those, you know, years where visitors were coming from Europe and all over, right, for a glimpse of the Mahatma, a glimpse of Brahman, right? Very busy guy. But he wasn't making any trouble.
He was a busy guy.
He was very busy.
I think he only had one.
You can see interesting footage. There's movie footage of him wandering around the ashram, petting cows and shooing peacocks.
Oh yeah,
Lakshmi.
I watched that movie.
Oh wait, was he the one that had the bull friend or something?
He was so cool. He enlightened his pet cow.
Oh, wow.
I mean, why did everyone go see him if he could enlighten the cow? Ramana! 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 I mean, if you see films of people around Sai Baba, as he would walk, you know, wherever, you know, interview, interview, Baba, interview, interview. It was the same thing. Ramana, cow. Ramana, me. Ramana, cow. Master, interview, interview. Okay.
Same thing plays out with all the teachers and...
Yeah, sure he granted them interviews. And they got pearls and vibhuti and promises and God knows whatever they got. But nobody got touched by Sai Baba to the point of liberation. What, you know someone? You know someone? Yeah. Yeah. It's actually not very good. It's not good practice. Even if you could have that magical power, and I've never seen it. And I've been around not that long, but a little bit. I don't think it's great that you would bother to do that. It's not, you know, it's just, I mean, that's in the paradigm of we suffering fools going to a master who's no longer suffering to get a magic touch to no longer be a suffering fool. But the reality is that you are not a suffering fool. And so a master that sees through what this really is just, you know, happy to have a cup of coffee with you no matter what condition you think you're in. And it's not their business to relieve you of anything. I mean, reflection.
Yeah, Peter said something on his website.
Yeah.
About things like being around somebody who is free of their.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Having some kind of conversation with your friend,
well, I mean, it's organic. If you find yourself interested, I would say yes, right? When your parents told you there was no Santa, that was an entrainment, right? If you go sit with someone that reminds you that you are Santa, that's an entrainment. That could be fun. I mean, don't you want to be reminded of yourself? I mean, if you wouldn't be sitting here if that wasn't somehow of interest to you. Somehow. You wouldn't be sitting here if that was...
The food's pretty good, but it's not quite that good. The world's good.
I've lost all my friends.
Nobody will put up with me for 50 days.
Well, it's true. I mean, we can become what would you say, a little grumpy, a little less codependent, a little less tolerant, for instance, right? Because you don't want to necessarily hang out in a shit pile of anecdotal hysteria when you're capable of enjoying your nature.
You know, the Pope has signs all over Philly with his face on it that says, "Have the courage to be truly happy." Ooh. And the people in my office were like, "I don't get that." Well, no, but I can at least kind of see where he's going with it. Whereas, I don't get that at all. You know, that doesn't make any sense. I could be happy with all this crap going on in the world.